and welcome to this inaugural episode of our Learning for Sustainability podcast series. The series celebrates and shares the experiences arising from the European Commission's School Working Group. I'm Daniela Tilbury, and it is a pleasure to guide today's conversation. Over a number of podcasts, we will bring together members of the working group from across Europe and explore how schools can reimagine learning for sustainability. The working group's journey, throughout this journey, we have seen powerful examples of innovation, collaboration, transformation, and today's episode focuses perhaps on one of the most impactful frameworks that's emerging from this work, the whole schools approach. I'm delighted to be joined by two very esteemed colleagues and friends, Professor Arjen Walsh and Dr. Aravela Sarahayu, who have both been central contributors in shaping the whole school approach agenda right across Europe. Arjen, Aravela, good morning. Welcome. Let us begin by setting the foundation for those listeners who may be new to the concept. Like, what is the whole school approach and why is it so powerful a strategy for embedding sustainability in education? Arjen, perhaps we could start with you and you could tell us a little bit about your perspective on the systematic nature of whole school approaches.
Thank you, Daniela. Yes, well, I think we must recognize that sustainability is more than just a topic. It encompasses so many topics that are all related, whether it is climate change or loss of biodiversity or global citizenship or the rising inequality across the globe. So it's hard for schools to tackle all these topics. And rather than focusing on all these topics, what is working quite well, we find, is that when we approach them from a competency perspective, what kinds of qualities, competencies do young people need today to deal, cope with these challenges in a positive way, then a whole school approach that is more than just a curriculum, also looking at how we teach and learn, and also looking how we connect with the community, with the live world of young people, but also how we connect with professional development in an integrated way, we can be far more effective than trying to add on all these different topics. So schools respond quite well because they feel it is the only way that we can really have meaningful impact when working with young people and impact in society.
Thank you, Arjen. And Aravela, I would love to bring you in next. I mean, what have you seen in your work that makes this approach quite transformative?
Thank you, Danielle, and thank you for the entire team for hosting this conversation on the whole school approach. After almost three decades of the foundation of the whole school approach, today I think it's more relevant than ever. And in years need, no culture of sustainability and not a real shift in mindset can happen if we do not look at the school in a holistic and systemic way. And after 25 years working in ESD, I have seen patterns repeat themselves. For example, integrating ESD into curricula, training teachers, designing the new tools, which are very important. But I have also seen that they are not effective in their own home. They cannot bring lasting change unless they are connected to the deeper purpose of education and to the school as a living system. So what makes this approach so powerful is that it shifts the goal from a simple effectiveness to meaningful development. It encourages schools to grow, not only in terms of performance, but in terms of culture and identity. So finally, through my experience implementing the approach in different contexts, I have also realized how deeply ethical and valuable it is. It is not only practical, and it helps us move from the I to the we. It strengthens collective responsibility. It shows to every member of the school community that when we change the way we work at the micro level, in the unique realities of each school, we can influence change at the micro level as well. It is alive, it is authentic, and it has the power to shape not only schools, but the people within them. And when people change, systems eventually follow.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, both Ari and Aravella, you've talked about holistic, systemic, these words that are always connected with the whole school approach. I guess what all this means in practice is that it's a very connected and deep approach to sustainability in practice. So let's turn to the key foundations for success. Arian, turning to implementation specifically, based on your research and your international experience, which is extensive, what would you identify as the essential foundations for successfully introducing, but also sustaining, the whole school approach? In other words, if you were just starting with this idea, you know, what would you need to pay close attention to?
Well, this is a very important question. I think, you know, we all know from people in education know how difficult it is to just change the curriculum. To change a whole school is even more challenging. But what we do see is that there's no one single starting point. That's the first finding, I think. Sometimes it is a school leader who can take the initiative. Sometimes it is a teacher in higher education. It's so often students that can drive a more fundamental shift in how we teach and learn. Policy can play a role too, and maybe Aravella can speak to that later in this, creating the space for schools to have a more localized curriculum that connects more with the life world of the young people is very important. An important aspect of implementation is also to have an inclusive, a broadly supported vision that's already been mentioned, where people can have their own philosophy on what do we want from our school. Well, how can we become relevant, responsive, reimaginative, but also responsible as a school? That conversation needs to take place. And sometimes a teacher in her or his own classroom can start a whole school approach at a microcosm level, so to speak, in his or her own classroom by creating more space for participation, for instance, for allowing these questions to emerge in the classroom and by being flexible as a teacher, no matter what discipline, in responding to them. So there are different entry points, and we see a wide range of approaches at the moment, and I think that's a good way.
Thank you. Thank you, Aaron. Aravella, do you have any particular insights for Cyprus? Cyprus has been a real leader in this space. You know, you've been piloting, you've been scaling up across different contexts. Can you share one or two policy insights or lessons learned that may inspire other countries or schools who are starting to embark on this journey?
Thank you, Daniela. Just let me tell you first that when we first introduced the whole school approach in Cyprus back in 2009 as official policy, the situation was not simple at all. There was a lot of resistance because the approach was truly radical for an education system trying to move away from bureaucracy and centralization towards models that were more pedagogically autonomous and deliberate. But 16 years later, I often say the whole school approach is like good old wine. As it matures, it gains value, respect, and appreciation. Today, in 2025, I see more than ever teachers and school teachers reorganize their school based on whole school approach. And I believe this is because wherever it is implemented, it gives meaning to what teachers and students do. It gives them hope, hope that change is possible. Hope that they themselves can be agents of that change. And one such example is the program Greening My School, Greening My Neighborhood, which was designed fully around the whole school approach. The educational community embraced it because the schools became a living space of learning. Learning began with the needs and the interests of students. Students and teachers, they reconnect with their land through action and not only through theory. Through this approach, the school became inclusive. Students felt they belonged. Through participatory and experiential processes, they built life skills, problem solving, creativity, responsibility, communication, and empathy. The school stopped being just a series of classrooms. Everyone, every corner of the school became a space for discovery. What this example showed to me is that the whole school approach brings hope. It is linked to pedagogy of hope, the belief that small changes at school can lead to larger ones in society. And it is hope because it proves that schools can change for the better and becomes examples for more sustainable, fair and resilient communities.
Thank you. I love the idea of hope being introduced through a sustainability stream across schools. Fantastic, the pedagogy of hope. This is our last question. So let's turn now to the sort of the leadership dimension, which, as we know, is quite critical, not just to instigate and support, but also to make the changes last. So implementing a whole school approach requires, we know, a shift in mindsets, a shift in relationships, a shift in the way we practice education. What guidance would you offer to school leaders, teachers, and communities that are seeking to drive this kind of change in an effective way? Aaron, can we begin with the broader change leadership considerations that you are familiar with?
Okay. So that's a good question. I think leadership is very important, obviously. But it's also important that leadership is not possessed by one person. It needs to be shared, distributed. And people, good leaders are a great space for others to lead as well, to share responsibility. Then it will become more systemic and shared, to leadership. A second point about leadership that we find, and I'm talking about research we've done on this in the Netherlands and in Norway mainly, is that you lead by example. So walking the talk, which is an important component of a whole school approach, also means that the principal or teachers themselves actually live in a healthy way, radiate sustainability and hope in their everyday practices, and are able to invite students to raise critical questions and to allow for a culture of participation. That is very important, that you walk the talk, that you embody and live sustainability. A third aspect of the leadership, I think, is that it's networked, that you try to connect with other initiatives, that you try to build a movement together, supported by NGOs sometimes, and many countries have NGOs supporting schools in this effort. And that, I think, can add strength to the whole school approach so that it can become part of a movement, and not isolated schools trying to work hard in their own communities, which is critical. But if we really want to make that bigger change, then we also need to network with each other.
Thank you, Aryan. A very insightful response. Aravella, I would welcome your reflections from working directly with policy and also school teams on this question of leadership.
I will continue for where Aryan finished, because I will speak more practically. The first thing that I always say to the principals and teachers is, do not afraid change, because implementing the whole school approach has to do with change. So it is a step towards self-improvement for both the school and the people within it. And my guidance to teachers and school leaders, education officers or partners organizations, is to begin by understanding what the whole school approach can do for their school. How can it help them move closer to sustainability? How can it help them adopt practices that reflect their values? The whole school approach is not a theory or a fixed recipe. So I advise them to see it as a process that allows a school to evolve, to self-reflect and to self-regulate with the aim of improving their school life and aligning with sustainability. It is also, what I also discuss with them, it is also very important to recognize that the whole school approach depends on collaboration, a shared vision, shared sustainability, and collective effort. Everyone in this has a role to play. Every member of the school community can contribute to this culture in their own way. Also, we discussed and advised them to see that a whole school approach invites to see the school differently, not as a place that prepares students only for the labor market, but as a living laboratory of learning and life. A space where the building, the school grounds, the way the school is organized, and relationships with the community all work together. When these connections strengthen, the school becomes a place that helps us rethink how we relate to ourselves, to each other, and to the planet. So my guidance is simple. Stay open, stay collaborative, and trust the process. Because when a school embraces the whole school approach, it sets the condition for real lasting change.
Thank you. Thank you, Arabella. Thank you, Arian, for these very thoughtful and quite inspiring insights. I'm sure that they will help others who are beginning or looking to sustain their journey in whole school approaches. So today's discussion has highlighted how whole school approaches can unlock meaningful and systemic learning for sustainability, benefiting not just students, but entire school communities. This podcast forms part of a series that is available on the EU Academy and the Education for Climate platform. We encourage our listeners to check out the other episodes, as well as explore the wider set of outputs that are being produced by the working group. This includes a policy compendium, a practitioner fact sheets, research studies, and an online course or MOOC. The resources are openly accessible on our website and designed to support schools wherever they are on their journey. Thank you. Thank you for joining us for this conversation, and we look forward to welcoming you to the next episode in our series.